That's Fran Drescher. She's a star of three hit sitcoms. She's an author. She's a creator of the charitable organization that we just spoke about, Cancer Schmancer. And like we just said, apparently a singer. Let's get her on the line right now.
She's a diva.
Miss Fran Drescher, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us. Who knew that Fran Drescher sings? What don't you do?
Well, I don't know. You know, I just, I like to keep trying different things and reinventing myself and, you know, exploring everything that I've ever wanted to do. And I was dating somebody that's in the music business, and he happened to say to me, you know, how come nobody's tapped into your lower register because you have such a great sound and, you know, what you bring to a song can't be manufactured in a studio, and, you know, why don't we just cut a record and see what happens? Maybe we could do an album. But we broke up before that happened.
That son of a bitch.
Maybe he was really just looking for you to tap into his lower register, if you know what I'm talking about.
I actually broke up with him. Why do you assume he broke up with me?
I knew, Fran.
Yeah, you said that son of a bitch.
I knew. That son of a bitch. Never liked that guy.
With all the things you just spoke about, all the things that you do, where is it exactly? You got to tell us, where did you discover the fountain of youth?
You know, I take care of myself. I first of all, thank you. And I don't know, I sleep on my back. I
who knew that was the secret?
I know.
It's
I use
not working
a cool
for me, Fran.
I train myself to do that. You know, over 90% of the wrinkles is from the pillow. And I use a cool mist humidifier. It's on right now. And, you know, I'm going like predominantly vegan. Mm. And I do a whole host of alternative things to keep me healthy and well. I take a lot of whole food nutrients and all kinds of things to keep me healthy and well. And I think it shows in my skin. My daily practices. So anyway, I don't know, but thank you. And I never go in the sun. I'm not a sun worshiper, you guys.
Really? No, not a beach person?
No, never was. Never was. I don't mind going to the beach, but I gotta have an umbrella.
Well, something else along the same lines. You were voted one of people's 50 most beautiful people. And knowing that you come from such humble beginnings, how do they inform you that you're chosen to be that? And what's your first reaction?
Well, I, you know, flattered and excited. And what am I going to wear for the photo shoot? And who's doing my hair and makeup? And, you know, like that. And I was happy with the way the picture came out. So it's nice. It's good. I was thrilled. You know, that was kind of at the height of the nanny, and there were a lot of great things that were going on. And I kind of enjoyed being part of People Magazine and in that way, and it was all good.
Well, when the nanny is in its prime, like you said, you're one of the most recognizable, one of the most famous people on the planet. And we talked about your humble beginnings a little bit. So was there a moment beside that that maybe was like that holy shit moment? Like, oh, my God, this is how famous I am. This is when I realized how famous I actually am.
I don't know if there was like one defining moment. It was kind of a rolling stone that just kept building and things were happening. And I think that when I kind of went to Africa and the Bushmen knew who I was, I thought, okay, that's the level that we're at now. And Danny Aykroyd has been a longtime friend of mine. Said to me early on when The Nanny first was becoming a series that, you know, you're going to, you're not going to believe how much energy you have to apply just to secure some privacy for yourself. And I thought, oh, yeah, well, okay. But then, you know, I started to live it. And I realized that there were places that I could go, but I have to expect that, you know, my time is not really going to be my own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be asked to take pictures and give autographs and things like that, which is cool. I don't like to reject people.
Yeah.
So if I go, I have to, you know, be prepared to not just have a private experience. And, you know, where I live and all of that stuff, it's an interesting journey. But for me, the perks of getting good concert tickets, good restaurant reservations, you know, going, all those type things, into museums when they haven't opened yet, all that, I love that.
Yeah.
I live for that. I'm a culture holic, and if I could get, you know, into a concert that is tough to get into and get great seats or theater, whatever, it's really very gratifying for me and well outweighs any inconveniences that fame might bring you.
Now, you're talking about fan interaction. What's the creepiest fan interaction you had? You had to have some creepers that came around.
I think I was on a trip once, and when I came home, my assistant was telling me that there was someone that was knocking on my neighbor's doors, asking if Fran Drescher lived around here. And that kind of freaked me out because I had been a victim of a violent crime in my home when I was still married to Peter at a different address. And so, you know, that was kind of like, oh, I don't, you know, this is...
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, for me especially, it kind
of... Yeah.
I can very easily be tripped up by stuff like that. But I live defensively, and so, you know, that's the best I can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were Amanda Bynes' nanny, what would you do?
You know, I wouldn't put my kid in show business. Hello. That's the first thing. I don't, you know, it's hard to grow up in show business and mature into an adult that's able to make sensible, grounded decisions and life choices.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, when you're young and then forever throughout your life, life offers you opportunities, and sometimes the best lessons are hard learned. And I'm the first one to say that. So, you know, I think that with anyone that goes through something, I would discuss, you know, what have we learned? Because that's what this is, an opportunity.
Yeah.
To become a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we go through stuff. No one leaves this planet unscathed. So that's the way I would approach it. Because I've been through very low ebbs in my life. And, you know, you have to take it apart and be self-reflective and figure out how you can use this as an example to, you know, not... to learn from it and
yeah.
not make the same mistake twice, or to become a better person, or to learn, turn lemons into lemonade, all that stuff. My life is a daily practice of doing that. And, you know, the more you start taking stuff apart and looking at it and owning your responsibility and figuring out how this was an opportunity to reflect and become a better person, then it was, you know, an experience worth living. Because that's a lot of the way we learn, you know, we grow, and that's why they call it growing pain.
Yeah. Well, you did mention you've gone through a lot of stuff in your life. We'll be talking about cancer and Cancer's Mantra in a couple of minutes, but one thing that I read, and I need to see if this is true or not, I read somewhere that you were quoted as saying that you were abducted by aliens and you have a scar as a result.
No, that's that was somebody trying to, you know, ride on my coattails by making stuff up based on something that I said in jest, and that's just, you know, the problem today that we didn't really have in during the nanny is that
the internet
of, yes, exactamo. That's what the problem is, because it's an insatiable appetite for content, and it does, and it all feeds off of each other. So one idiot says something and everyone picks up on it. I mean, and so, you know, I mean, I can't even give lip service to it, because it's just, it's the lowest, no offense, but it is kind of ridiculous.
No, I understand. And, you know, it's funny because when you Google your name, it comes up within the first 20 searches. That's one of the things that come up. And we have this discussion all the time on how the internet really is a playground for people to just create stories and really kind of tarnish people's reputations. And I absolutely understand where you're coming from. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not worried about my reputation being tarnished. I mean, I'm a good person, and I spend a lot of effort for the greater good, and I have a lot of worthwhile platforms, and people, I think, have gotten to know my character and who I am. And, you know, it's all good. I mean, it became a feeding frenzy because it's so outrageous. But, you know, it just brings the whole thing down to the mean. The bar becomes lower. And that's unfortunate. I mean, when Huffington Post was already writing about it, it's like, what? You know,
I like
that. Where do you draw the line?
I like that you could hear the birds in the background while Fran speaking. it gives it a nice ambiance to what you say.
I know. Actually, I should have turned it off, but that's my, when I get a text.
Upset. We were picturing you had a whole
I
bunch
thought
of
you
birds
were outside on a bench by a pond.
I'm looking outside, but I thought that might be too noisy because I'm on the beach and the waves are, you know, loud. So I'm actually lying in bed where I do a lot of, as much as I could do, I do in a horizontal position.
Oh, my God. You can't be telling us
this. She's a tease.
Jesus. I also heard
we've been teased, Maddie.
I also heard that Fran enjoys sexting very much. Big fan
well,
of sex.
You know, with the right dude, I'm not opposed to it. No pictures.
So give us some pointers. If like Rico over here, he thinks he's a good sexter. What are some good pointers that you can give him to working with the ladies?
To help him out.
I don't know what you know with the ladies. I'm not sexting women. So,
no, but men are sexting you. So what's a good rapport that they could have, or some good kind of a flow? Like what could he do to impress someone?
What's
like
a good starter text?
I tell you the truth, they don't do it as good as I do it for them. because women aren't. I don't know. I just. But I think that a good, you know, like, just kind of. Way to what's the word I'm looking for? Just like a good parameter within to be is to just kind of write what you want to do to them when you see them,
right,
and that
right.
could get a guy's mojo going. So
you have a pen on you,
Fran? You actually see him. It's like you open the door and it's like hello.
No, seriously. Do you have a pen on you, friend?
And that may work, in reverse if the guy really knows what the girl likes. But usually what a guy thinks a girl likes may not really be what she likes.
I think I know.
But a guy is much easier. That's a complicated creature.
Well, I'll be honest, if it's Fran Drescher on the other side of a text talking a little bit dirty, I don't think there's much that has to be said. You could just say the word hi or no, and I think everything would pop up.
Well, there you go.
Give us that famous Saturday Night Fever line.
Are you as good in bed as you are on the dance floor?
So let's talk Cancer Schmancer. Cancer Schmancer, the focus really is prevention and education for women. What changes can the ordinary woman or even person make to their lifestyle that will benefit them as far as what you've lived through and what you've researched? What can you give us some information on that?
Now, wait, tell me the question again. The ex-boyfriend was just
that son of a bitch is ruining the show.
This guy's sexting you when we're talking about Cancer Schmancer. And if you want to talk about sexting, that's fine.
That's
we can keep
fine.
Talking.
You just have to narrate.
I said sexting.
So what, 50 Shades of Grey? You enjoy 50 Shades of Grey?
What does he want?
I know what he wants. There's one thing that he wants.
Yeah, he wants to. He does want to take me out to dinner. You know, it's like I'm a tough act to follow, gentlemen.
Cancer Schmancer. Like I said, the focus is.
We're talking about your charity, Fran.
And she's laughing.
Oh, okay, good. I'm right there. I'm with you, baby.
Yeah, yeah. He had a goat. Yeah, she was like, what?
Yes, cancerschmancer.org.
Yeah, well, the focus, like you said, is prevention and education for women. What kind of
changes? Early detection, prevention, and policy change. So, you know, we have Fran vans that go out into low-income neighborhoods and give underserved women free mammograms and stuff like that. And then our big new program is our trash cancer prevention effort, and Detox Your Home is the big program, teaching America, getting the conversation going, that over 90% of cancer is environmental, and the most toxic place we spend the most time in is our home, and that we have the most control over. So detox your home, America, because that's the game-changing, flip the switch, don't drink and drive of the 21st century. And on the website, you know, we not only help you make decisions about what you're currently buying and whether it's high in carcinogens or toxins or pesticides, and also, you know, recommendations for what you can do when you start questioning what are you putting in your mouth, on your skin, the largest organ in the body, what are you cleaning with and what are you guarding with. If you just start with that. And, you know, don't throw everything out because you paid hard-earned money for it. But when it's something to replace it, get educated and start making healthier choices for you and your family, because you can effectively reduce your risk of cancer and a whole host of diseases. Mm-hmm. We can't keep exposing our bodies to all this stuff and expect our immune system to be able to cope. It's not coping. One out of two men will get cancer most likely, and one out of three women, and in their lifetime, and that's just too much.
Yeah. We're on Long Island, so breast cancer is like an epidemic here, I feel.
Yeah,
it just seems like.
So what you do have control over, you should immediately start, you know, acting upon. Clean up that house. And once you do the in, on, and around you, check, choose, and change challenge.
That sounds dirty.
And after you've mastered that, you may start to be looking at what is your carpeting made of. You know, you may look at a lot of things differently. What is that, you know, all-weather fabric you've got on your outdoor furniture, and what kind of chemicals is that doused with? And that no-iron cotton sheets and pillowcases and shirts, that's all doused with chemicals.
I read something, tell me if this is an accurate quote from you, something about how, along the same lines, breastfeeding, you said, is not actually very good for the mother or the child.
Well, what I said was that, that's not what I said, but in this area, I did make a statement, and it was that American women's breast milk has the highest percentage of flame retardant in it. And if I had my druthers as a preventive action, if a woman wanted to, you know, have a baby, I would like to see her go to her doctor and say, you know, can I get a heavy metals test? And if I, you know, test high, let's chelate the chemicals out of my body before I start gestating a baby and then breastfeeding it. You know, it's not to say 100 years ago wasn't a great thing, but we live in a very toxic world. And I didn't make it up that there's a lot of flame retardant in women's breast milk. There is. So knowledge is power. And if you know that, you know, you don't have to fight me on it, but chelate the heavy metals out of your body. It's doable. But you gotta, you know, look it up and learn how to do it. And, you know, be careful what you're exposing yourself to, what you're exposing your unborn child to. The breasts are like big sponges. They absorb everything.
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's a double-edged sword, baby.
Yeah, that it is. That it is.
So it's just all knowledge is power. People don't want to hear things, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm sorry to tell you, but, you know, there's
a lot of disease. One of our regulars actually was diagnosed with colon cancer recently, and he's really dying to talk to you. So let me get him on the line real quick. His name is Scott. Scott, are you on the line?
Yes.
Hi, how are you doing?
I don't know. I'm doing okay, I guess. But, you know, what you're saying about the flame retardant and the environment is absolutely true. But, you know, the reality of the situation is that, you know, it's hopeless. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't think it's hopeless. I think that we can turn this around. And it's each one teach one. But tell me about yourself. When were you diagnosed? Do you know what stage you're in?
Right now I'm in stage 4 final.
Okay.
I was diagnosed about 3 years ago. They cut like a big portion of my lower bowel out. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't catch it all, you know, spreading through the lymph nodes and up to the liver and somewhere else, the pelvis now. And
have you ever heard of the Gerson method?
No.
Are you taking anything right now, or are you just,
The only thing I'm taking is oxycodone, so they made an opioid addict out of me, and that's, you know.
Because you're in pain?
Yeah.
Well, if you pick up, they sell it on Amazon, healing the Gerson method, or the Gerson way, the newest edition.
Is that what they tell you, like, don't eat out of aluminum pans and stuff like that? Is that the one?
No, it's a little more extreme, but it's very positive alternative. It's, you know, completely rebuilding your cellular structure with high doses of nutrients.
Yes.
Enzymes.
Right.
Coffee, enemas, all kinds of things to clean your liver and rebuild your cells and clean out your intestines and rebuild your body. And actually, anything intestinal, including the liver, that they have helped people that were in stage 4. You know, it ain't over till it's over. So if I were you, you know, that's what I would do. And it's up to you, but that would be what I would do.
Can I ask you something? I never heard that you had, you know, you're a cancer survivor. I mean, what happened to you?
I had uterine cancer, and it took me 2 years and 8 doctors to get a proper diagnosis. But by the grace of God, I was still in stage 1. And I wrote, you know, the New York Times bestseller, Cancer Schmancer. And when I went on my book tour, I started talking to people and formulating what became the cornerstone of the movement, the Cancer Schmancer movement, which is that everybody should be diagnosed in stage 1 when it's most curable. If everyone diagnosed in stage one, almost everyone would live. And the reason, you know, why we lose loved ones to cancer is almost always due to late stage diagnosis. Now, how old are you?
Scott, how old are you?
55.
So, did you have symptoms, or did you take like a regular kind of colonoscopy, or did you have symptoms that?
I had symptoms for 25 years, and like, you know, the first time I went to the hospital about it, the guy told me don't worry about it. It's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was going on with symptoms for 25 years or so, and then, you know, the symptoms got really bad.
Yeah.
So that's where I am now.
I'm sorry that, you know, you should check out the Gerson book. And, you know, I didn't take for an answer what they were saying, and it saved my life because doctor number one said I was basically fine. And you know, six doctors after that, and then doctor number eight was also telling me I was fine, but my symptoms exacerbated, and so she decided to give me the test that doctor number one thought I was too young for, and that proved that I had the cancer. But, you know, I don't listen to these people. I don't trust these people. When a doctor tells you you have cancer, at the end of the day, he goes home to eat dinner with his family. You go home to eat your heart out with yours. I don't trust people in this regard. It's my life, and that's why, you know, in our organization, Cancer Schmancer, you know, we transform patients into medical consumers because we put more time and energy into the buying, selling, and repairing of our automobiles than we do with our own bodies. With our own bodies, we become like, we just give a doctor kind of, we deitize them. And it ain't necessarily so. They're under a lot of pressure from big business health insurance to go the least expensive route of diagnostic testing, and also to keep up, you know, their malpractice insurance. They got to get you in and out fast and have a fast turnover, all of which does not generally make for good doctoring. But we have to be good medical consumers. And it's not too late for you, man. You get that book. Go on my website, but also, more important, go on, you know, Amazon and get that Gerson, Healing the Gerson Way, the latest edition. And do it. Do it. And, you know, because, and see what happens. It may change everything. Who knows? Yeah. It has for others.
Yeah.
That's what
absolutely
I would do.
Very moving. Very moving.
Yeah. We got the serious Fran Drescher.
I think this is the most serious the show has ever been.
Yeah, I think so.
And you know what?
I shouldn't say you should do it. I should say that's what I would do. And you have to make your own decision, and there's no right or wrong. Everybody makes their own decisions. I didn't, you know, I made choices.
No, but it's your persistence, though. It's your persistence that actually allows you to be here today, in a sense, because if you weren't consistently going to those doctors, I mean, Dr. 8 wouldn't have happened, and who knows what would have happened at that point.
I hear stories like this every day of the week, and that's why I've made this my life mission, because I feel like I got famous, I got cancer, and I lived to talk about it, and that's why I was still in stage one, because it was meant to be that I'm the one that starts leading us in a new direction, a person that thinks outside of the box, that doesn't go with the flow, that challenges, that, you know, and is more of a visionary than a follower.
Yeah.
And this is definitely the 21st century, so...
And that's why we love you.
I wish
plus
you
luck. Plus you're sex. Plus you're sex.
She was probably sexting through that whole Scott talk.
No.
I wasn't. So, Frank, can we take a couple more calls for you? We have people all over the world that have wanted to talk to you. They've been lining up since before we went on the air.
All right. I've got to like a quarter of.
All right. Well, we got two calls for you then. We got Allie. Allie's been holding on forever. Allie, what's your question?
Hell yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen. All right.
It's happening.
Let's see. She's like an inspiration to me. Wait, can she hear me?
Yes.
Oh, what's up? All right, I've talked to you on Twitter before. Allie.
Allie, is your last name like Freeze or Friends? Or
yeah.
Allie, you're awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But you definitely helped me out with all the cancer schmancer, throwing my own party. I felt my mom and my dad. My dad's like a stubborn badass, but you know what? He is listening now.
Oh, good.
Let's see. What has been your inspiration through all the things you've gone through now? Like, I don't understand how you stay so positive and happy.
You know, it's, life unfolds in an interesting way. I had a lot of psychotherapy prior to getting the cancer. When I was, you know, when I was raped at gunpoint, I didn't handle that in a healthy way. I kind of pushed it aside, went back to business as usual. And then when my marriage was falling apart, I started to really get into therapy. And I started to realize that I was a person that really wasn't in touch with my own feelings. I was so subscribing to being Miss Superwoman. Nothing gets me down. I can handle everything. I'm the strong one. I'm everybody's caregiver. And, you know, I was offered an opportunity with the rape to ask for help to get in touch with my pain and vulnerability. I didn't choose to take it. I went into therapy because of the marriage. It helped start to get me in touch with my feelings. And so when I got cancer, that was the next opportunity for me to say, okay, life, I can't do this alone. I'm not a superwoman. I walk on the ground with everyone else. In fact, out of everyone I know, I'm the only one to get cancer. So I guess I'm pretty vulnerable and fragile and a human being, and I can't do this myself, and I need help, and I need you to help me. I need you to be there for me. I need you to even sometimes carry me. And that was a life changer for me. There were a lot of silver linings. And so I've learned that even though, not to say you don't kick and scream and cry and say, why me, Lord, but at some point, and not too long after you indulge yourself with that, you have to stop and you have to start, you know, looking at yourself, looking at this situation and turning it around. Because, you know, life hands you blows and you just got to work it somehow and not have it consume you or destroy you. So what you do with it, how you grow through it and what becomes of you as a result is what makes all the difference. And I know, I'm not glad I had cancer. I don't wish it on anyone. But I am better for it, most definitely. So, you know, sometimes the best gifts come in the ugliest packages.
Aww. You just have such an amazing life story. It's just so inspirational, like Allie just said. And we're so happy to have you on. And we want everyone to check out the Cancer Schmancer website. It's cancerschmancer.org, and on Twitter it's @cancerschmancer. It's definitely something you want to look into. Just reading what I was reading today, I was just blown away by the different things that, like we discussed here on the show, the different things that you can do, the simple little things that you can do so that will really make a big difference in your life. And again, Fran, you've been such an inspiration. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
You know, if everybody can tweet to TV Land that they want Happily Divorced to come back, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what we had so many more questions for. You know, we're on limited time, but Happily Divorced needs to come back for season three.
Three? Oh, so there was two seasons.
Season three, and at this point,
yeah.
I don't even. You're the writer, you're the producer, you're an actress. At this point, isn't it just easier just to let someone write something for you and just go
you
with
know,
it?
You know, it's really not. I tried that with Living with Fran, and I finally called everyone into my dressing room, and I said, listen, you know, I either, you know, become an executive producer on this or get someone else because, you know, life's too short.
Yep.
And I do what I do really well, and it's frustrating for me to, you know, have to be dictated to, and it's the reason why I got behind the scenes. I did, like, the last bad pilot I was ever going to do, and I said, that's it. I didn't even have money or anything. I mean, for me to be in this, to have this attitude, I said, that's it. If I don't get on the inside in a big way, within the next 5 years, I'm going to drop out of the business and do something else, because this is like crazy. I can't let everybody else, you know, ruin the projects that I'm in, and also that I'm beholden to them to get work. On and off unemployment, it's not my thing. I, you know, I'm a creator. I look at an empty page and I fill it. It's a gift. And I, you know, it'd be, I mean, I was in high school and I started a hair cutting business, you know, in my bedroom. I'm very enterprising.
Always that bedroom. She always goes back to the bedroom. We got to finish this in the bedroom.
That's where it starts.
She's killing me. She's killing me. The beautiful Fran Drescher. Check her out on Twitter at Fran Drescher. And again, check out at Cancer Schmancer and cancerschmancer.org. We'll be putting our links up on our website. And
go to TV Land, vote, make sure they get it on for season three. Happily divorced.
Hit them up on Facebook, hit them up on social media, email them. We want to see season three. And next time when you're on, we got to talk happily divorced and we got to talk UHF. So we got to have you back on.
Okay. Well,
do you remember
you know. What?
Do you remember UHF at all? Or do you try to forget it?
Of course. you know, Jeremy Piven was in that.
Yeah.
When he was bald.
So many people. All right, again, at Fran Drescher at twitter.com. Fran, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Thank you for all the educational work.
You are so welcome. And you guys be well, and thanks all your listeners. And Scott, my prayers are for you. Allie, nice talking to you. And I'll come back. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fran.
Thank you, Fran.
The beautiful Fran Drescher.
Wow.
Wow. That was like one of the most serious interviews I think we've ever had.
I think that might have been the most serious, right?
I think I saw Rico start tearing up over there.
I almost teared up. I definitely. I had a
little bit of sweat. Is that what you said?